Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Oh, so good to see so many people here. Tonight, we're going to continue our journey through the seven deadly sins. And we are going to tackle a very tough one and tricky ones, a desire that many of us are quietly struggle with. And that is greed. So over the past couple weeks, we have been digging into how these sins can quietly take root in our hearts and often without even us even noticing. So greed is no exception, and it's sneaky, it's subtle, and it's so easy to overlook. And here's the thing. In our culture, especially here in North America, greed often goes unnoticed. It's not a big deal, right? Somewhere along the way, we have convinced ourselves that wanting more, striving for more, it's just a normal part of life. So before we get into the heart of this message, I want to challenge you tonight. Please, do not assume that you are not greedy. Do not assume that you're not greedy. So this is very important. It's so easy to think that doesn't apply to me. But here's the truth. Greed, it's seriously enough to be part of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet. Exodus 20. So let's not forget, Jesus talked about money, greed, and our desire for material things more than he talks about heaven and hell combined. So that's a reason why, because it's a big deal. And it's a serious spiritual problem, and it's greed is one of the seven deadly sins for a reason. Keep it in mind. So let's take a moment to really think about this. I've met people who claim to be happy, content, but deep down, they're still looking for the next big thing. It's almost like there's an urge, urging them to keep chasing something more, the next big thing. Why is that? Do you know why is that? It's kind of like, when I was thinking about it, it was kind of like you just finished a big meal. You're so full. You're satisfied. You're stuffed until someone brings out the dessert. So suddenly, that extra slice of cake looks too good to pass on. You know you don't need it. And you know you might even regret it afterwards. But in that moment, it's so tempting, and it's so tempting not to, to pass up. So you reach out and grab that dessert. And that's how greed works in you. That's always a temptation somewhere to reach for more when it's within our grasp. So let's not fool ourselves into thinking that we are immune to greed. And we need to be honest and ask ourselves if greed has quietly take root in our hearts, and if it has, please, we need to take it very, very seriously. Let me share with you something very personal, okay? Very personal. You know, I used to tell myself that I don't need the latest gadgets or the fancy things, but I get the iPhone 15 Pro. When I was looking at it, I thought I would want the iPhone 16 Pro. You know, it's a tough one. However, if I'm completely honest, you know that, I was honest. That's always been this little voice at the back of my mind whispering, wouldn't just a little bit more be nice? So back in March this year, I had a travel experience that really stuck with me. So I was flying to our headquarters in Belgium for work. So now, my company has very strict rules when it comes to business travel. So usually we fly economy. But in my positions, I get to fly premium economy, so it's not bad on international flights. I'm honestly telling you, premium economy is really comfortable. So here's what happened. As I was getting settled in for the flight, I got the news that I was able to upgrade to business class. you know, suddenly the travel experience transform. And I have, you know, more leg room, the bar service, you know, there's no waiting in lines and party boarding, and it's like, a food flat bed to sleep on. You know, gourmet foods and entertainment options that make my flights like snap. It's like a flying in a hotel, you know. That's how I word it. But here's where it all get interesting. The very next day, after landing back to Vancouver, Joyce, Hannah, and I set off for a vacation to Tokyo, Japan. And as you might guess, we fly economy. Talk about reality check. Again, there I was, back in the long line, squeezing the really compact seat that, you know, a big guy, and then dreaming about the comfort that I just had just one day before, a few hours before, you know? It's tough. Ever since that flight, I find myself in this internal struggle, tempted every time when I book the flight, thinking, hey, maybe just, you know, just once, upgrade. That desire for more comfort keep creeping back to me no matter how hard I try to push it away. But then I see the price tag. You know that, right? 6,000, 7,000 more. I have to talk myself out of it, reminding myself, okay, it's not worth it, okay? Yet that desire keep lingering, right? Always nagging in me. Isn't it funny that just one experience can plant a seed of desire that keep growing? Once you have experience or get a taste for something better, it's really hard to go back what you had before. And that's exactly how greed works in you. It's sneaking quietly, convincing you that you have what you have isn't enough anymore. I'm sure we have all faced that temptation before, the urge to spend a little more, to chase after the latest trends or to seek validation through things we own is a constant battle against our desires. And I believe you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Let's be honest, our culture bombard us with messages that tell us success. It's all about wealth and possessions. And every day we hit with the actual advertisement, social media influencers, right? Telling that all promoting the idea that more is always better. When a shiny new gadget, a bigger house, or nicer car catches our eyes, all of a sudden, what we had just doesn't seem to be enough. And it's not just about material things. We can greedy for success, recognition, power, the list goes on. And the tricky part about greed is that it's sneaky and subtle, very sneaky. You know, greed never comes with a big announcement, I am coming. No. It sneaks in quietly, slowly take over our thoughts and desire. For me, you know that now, that lingering desire to fly business class again is small, but real example. It's so easy to justify. I deserve it, you know, I deserve it. I've worked so hard for it. And just a little bit more, right? A little extra, no harm. But deep down I know, it's a distraction. It's so subtle, but it's a subtle way that greed tries to sneak into my heart and take control, take my focus away from what truly matters. I'm sure we all have those areas in our lives where greed whispers to you, hey, just a little bit more. This is a subtle but powerful force of greed, and it's something that Jesus warns us about. So let's turn our attention to the Word of God in Luke chapter 12. This passage is one of those moments where Jesus cut right into the heart of the issues that is as relevant today as it was back then. So we talk about greed. So let's dive in and see what Jesus has to say. The story begins with a man in the crowd interrupting Jesus, asking him to settle a family dispute over an inheritance. "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Luke 12:13. So at first glance, this might seem to be a reasonable request. After all, you know, this man is just asking for what he believes is his fair share. Nothing, it's just normal. But if we look closer, we see that his focus is not for justice or like fairness. He's not even concerned about the family harmony or doing what's right. He just want to get what he think he deserve, and he see Jesus as a way to get it. But Jesus, as he often does, right, see deeper issues at play. So instead of getting involved in this dispute, he uses this moment to teach a vital lesson on the dangers of greed. Jesus responded with a warning: take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. So here Jesus is not just warning the man, he's warning the entire crowd, which included us today. Take care, Jesus says. Be on your guard. You know, this is not just a suggestion, I'm telling you. It's a serious caution. Be on our guard, Jesus says, because greed is always tricky and it can sneak into our lives and pretend to be something good or even necessary. So take care and be on your guard. Take care and be on your guard. You know, some of you may argue, you know, that at the end of the day, that especially parents, might justify our desire for wanting more because I just want to be responsible. Or I'm just securing a better future for my family. But Jesus challenged that motion. He makes it very clear that lives are not defined by what we own. True lives, he reminds us that, is not found in the abundance of possessions. So to explain this, Jesus shared a parable. He tells the stories of a rich man who experienced an abundant harvest. And this man has a challenge. He had way too many crops than he can imagine, and he doesn't know where to store it all. So what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. Luke 12:17. So now imagine the situation, right? This man is overwhelmed by his own success. He hit the jackpot. He has so many things that he has. And now he's figured out what to do with all his wealth. So at the end, the rich man comes up with a plan. He decided to tear down his barns and build bigger ones, and storing up all his goods so that he could live a life of ease. Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Think about that. Isn't that the dream for many of us? Do you have enough money so that we can finally kick back and enjoy life without caring in the world? Is it what you want? Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But here's the twist. That very night, just as the man is getting comfortable with his wonderful plan, God steps in and says, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" Luke 12:20. Fool. This is a strong word, especially coming from God. You know, Jesus was not condemning that man for being successful, or Jesus not even condemning the man of wanting to enjoy the fruit of his labor. No, the problem was that the man's attitude towards his wealth. He placed his trust in his possessions, believing that his security and happiness depending on his wealth. You know, in God's eyes, he was a fool because he spent all his energy, resources, securing his future in his wealth, but he knick-knacked what's important and what's truly matter. He missed the point. Jesus then concluded the parable with a powerful yet sobering statement. So is the one, which means whoever, people, who laid up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God, is the same as that man. Brothers and sisters, this is not just a story from the ancient times. This parable forces us to confront the reality of our own heart. Yes, we might not tearing down the barns or build bigger ones, for sure, but we are building our own wealth, success, comfort, and in doing so, let me ask you, how often do we lose sight of what it means to be rich towards God? We are building our own wealth, success, and comfort. And in doing so, let me ask you one more time, how often do we lose sight of what it means to be rich towards God? It's an upsetting thought, right? But it's the one we need to deal with it honestly. Greed is a dangerous trap and can lead us to forget the most important things in life. And this is where Jesus' teaching hit home for us today. The rich man thought his true riches were found in what he could accumulate, in the bigger barns and greater possessions. But Jesus showed us that true riches are found not in what we accumulate, but in how we trust, give, and live for God. Now let's be clear. Having money isn't wrong, okay? Having money isn't wrong. Money can be a powerful tool for good. It can provide for our families, support ministries, and help those in need. But the problem arises when our hearts become entangled with it. When we place our trust in wealth, when it becomes the source of our identities and security, and that's when greed takes roots in our heart, and that's where the problem is. So as we are reflecting upon this passage, let me ask you a question. Ask ourselves, are we building bigger barns, or are we investing in being rich towards God? Are we placing our trust in what we can accumulate, or are we living in a way that reflect our trust in Jesus? So how do you guys respond to Jesus' warning against greed? How do you guys respond? Jesus has made it very clear that life is not found in the abundance of our possessions, but in being rich towards God. So what does that look like in our daily lives? Here are some of those practical steps we can take. Daily examine. So we need to regularly check our hearts. Not just checking our hearts, you know, that's checking. Not just a quick glance. It's a deep and honest examination of ourselves. Ask God to review any areas where greed might be taking over. You know, watch out, it can be sneaky, you know? But when we ask God to shine his light into our hearts, he can show us where we might be placing too much value on the material things. And once we recognize the area, yes, let's bring them to God, confess them, and ask him to help you out to let go. Practice gratitude. We need to cultivate a heart of gratitude. Gratitude is like a shield against greed. And when we take time to truly appreciate what we already have, it shifts our focus. Instead of looking for the next things to buy or achieve, we start seeing that the abundance that God has already provided. You know, start by counting your blessings every day, no matter how small. When we are thankful for what we have, the desire for more loss its grip on us. Live simply and contentedly. We need to embrace simplicity. You know, in a world that constantly pushes us to want more, simplicity is a powerful way to live. But look, I want you to pay attention. Look, that doesn't mean that we have to give up everything we enjoy. But it does mean that being intentional about what we need to prioritize. That doesn't mean we have to give up everything we enjoy. But it does mean being intentional about what we need to prioritize. Maybe it's cutting back on unnecessary spending, or be mindful about how much time you spend on Amazon or shopping, browsing online. The goal here is to learn contentment, to find joy in what God has already given us, and rather than always chasing after the next big thing. And last but not least, for sure, is give generously. You know, one of the most effective ways to break the hold of greed is through generosity. When we give, we are making a statement. Our trust is not in our wealth, but in God's. Look for opportunities to bless others, whether it's giving up your time, giving your money, your resources. Generosity is a tangible way to live out our trust in God. And the beauty of generosity is that it doesn't just free us from greed. It also brings joy to blessing and blessing others. As we wrap up tonight, let's reflect upon what we have learned today. Jesus' word in Luke 12 challenged us to rethink what it means to be truly rich. It's not about what we accumulate. It's all about how we trust, give, and live for God. Greed can quietly creep into our hearts, leading us to place our security in things that will ultimately fade away. But Jesus offers a better way. He invites us to find our security and our identity and our joy in Him that is everlasting. So as we go from here, let's really take these steps to heart. Let's examine our lives, practice gratitude, embrace simplicity, and give generously. And in doing so, we will live out the truth that true riches are not found in what we accumulate, but in how we trust, give, and live for God. Before we end, let's pause for a moment and imagine. Imagine what could happen if we all took this teaching to heart. If we all made a commitment to live lives that are truly rich towards God, what will happen? Imagine a community where people are not driven by the needs of accumulating more, but are passionate about giving more. Imagine a place where generosity is not just an occasional act, but the norm and the weight of life. And imagine this group of people. You are not known by what you have or your wealth, but our willingness to give, to share. imagine a place where trusting God's provision replaces the constant worry about not having enough. And imagine a place where our focus is on what truly matters. Think about it. Think about the impact that we could have if each one of us desired to live simply, give generously, and trust fully in God. You know what happened? We would be free from the relentless pursuit of more and experience the peace that comes from knowing our security and identity are in Christ, not in what we own. And imagine the transformation of our families, our neighborhoods, and even beyond. Imagine this church can become the hope of the city, showing the world that true riches are not found in accumulation of wealth, but in how we love and serve. We could, yes, we could become a culture, counterculture force, demonstrating through Christ there is a better way, a way that leads to full fulfillment and abundant life. And that is the good news we can offer. And when we trust in God's provision, and when we give generously, and when we're able to live simply, we are not only experiencing the fullness of life that Jesus promised, but we are also become the light in the world that desperately needs hope. So tonight, brothers and sisters, make a commitment. Let's make that commitment individually and as a community to live out this truth. So let's choose to be rich towards God in everything we do. And let's show the world that there is a better way, that through Christ we can experience the fullness of life He promised. Are you in to become the light of the world? To showcase the goodness of the Lord? Are you in? Let's stand and pray. Dear Father, we come before you with grateful hearts, acknowledging them that your goodness and faithfulness are in our lives. You have blessed us abundantly, far beyond what we deserve, and we thank you for the countless ways you have provided us. And today, tonight, we ask for your help to live lives that are truly rich towards you. Teach us to examine our hearts daily, to be content with what you have given us, and to hold loose to the things of this world. Help us to cultivate a spirit of gratitude and generosity, so knowing that everything we have comes from you, Father. We ask that you empower us as a community to be a shining experience of your love and grace. Let our life reflect your goodness in all that we do, and may we be known for not for what we have, but what we give and how we love. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercy, and for the peace that comes from knowing that the true riches find in you and you alone. We pray in this powerful name, of Jesus' name. Amen.